spiritual warfare, not just in seasons, but daily, constantly. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the Word of God equips the saints for every good work.
Amen.
Not just for the work of righteousness, and not just for the work of ministry. Amen? But to equip us to come against the enemy. That's also good work, I think.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Glory to God. It's important to have the armor of God on, because armor is to protect us from Satan.
Amen.
And from his works.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. And so it's vitally important, like the Bible has been ministering about this, because there's a lot to minister about. God has told us much of what we got spiritually. Our weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. If you think you can beat Satan at his game through the flesh, you're sadly mistaken. He says, the weapons of warfare are not carnal, are not fleshly, but they're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. They're spiritual weapons, because Satan is spiritual.
Yeah.
So we dealt with already the armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6, to protect the mind, the helmet of salvation, hallelujah, the breastplate of righteousness to protect our heart, the shodding our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, which is the Word of God, and to prepare our feet with the Word of God to protect our walk. Lord, we've got to keep our walk pure, keep our walk holy in the sight of God. Also, the shield of faith. Amen. The shield of faith is very interesting. It's added protection, but it's to shield our faith. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God, because we just dealt with last week the realities of spiritual warfare, that Satan attacks the faith. Because if he can attack faith and put doubt in your mind, just like Pastor had mentioned this morning, then he's already won the war in you. Okay? Because, why? It takes faith to be saved. If you have no faith, you will not be saved. That's why he tries to bring shipwreck to the faith. And I'm not really clear about it, what shipwreck means, but it means to render powerless. Amen? It's like a ship in the sea. If it's shipwrecked, it can go nowhere. It's powerless. It goes down. It goes down. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you. And that's what Satan is trying to do. Amen? Individually and corporately in the body of Christ. That's why the Bible tells us much about spiritual warfare. Amen? Much about weapons and armor. So the next thing, hallelujah, of armor is resistance. That's what armor does, is to resist the enemy.
Amen.
Amen. So important to have.
Amen.
There's a gamut of people today that go out into war with the weapons but without the armor. There are people who go with the armor but not the weapons.
Yeah.
There are people that don't go out with nothing and they become a quick casualty. Because they're foolish. Amen. A whole gamut of people. So that's why it's so vitally important to understand these things. Because in ministry, this is what you're going to be facing daily. It's like the Apostle Paul. He faced daily distresses on all sides. He even listed it by name. He even fought against false brethren.
Yeah.
People who call themselves Christians and are not. And who disguised themselves or masqueraded themselves as Christians, the children of God, and were not. But who were coming into the church to creep in and to plant seeds of doubt to destroy the church with false doctrines and so forth. He dealt with that. He was stoned to death with stones. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten with rods.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the list goes on and on and on, but God had protected him.
Yeah.
And don't think that he went to minister without the weapons of warfare or the armor of God.
Amen.
Oh yeah, he was loaded to bear, just as we are. We're loaded to bear, glory to God. That's why this is such an amazing deal. It's like the church age today, our job in the church to preach the Word of God, to give further instructions of what we're already getting personally all week long in our personal time with God, but it's also to equip the saints of God. Hallelujah. So resistance strengthens faith. There's many things that strengthens faith. Number one, the challenge from God's Word strengthens faith.
Yeah.
That's what a pastor brings forth. A challenge to our faith. To walk upright. to be active in ministry. Whatever the Lord has for us to do, do it. Amen? Challenge strengthens faith. Amen? Because how many people want to be a failure in God? Nobody! Amen? We all want to do something that's going to count, right?
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Amen. So that challenges us. Another thing that strengthens our faith is answered prayer. We get all excited when God does something for someone, glory to God. Hallelujah, that we know that we've been praying for. And that strengthens our faith. Brings us closer to God. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. But did you know that resistance strengthens faith also? Resistance strengthens faith. Because faith is like a muscle. In order for a muscle to be built up, it's by resistance. A lot of pressure lifting something as it's forcing something down. So that's a resistance. That's how when you work your muscles like that, it becomes strong. That's how faith works also. If you have inactive faith, I guarantee you'll have weak faith. That's a fact. James had put it this way. Faith without works is dead. He says, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works.
Yeah.
Why? Here's a simple equation. Faith plus action proves our belief.
Amen.
Faith plus action proves our belief. If we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, we'll tell someone about Jesus Christ. Because we believe. Therefore, we're going to put that into action. By telling someone the way, the truth, and the life, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way into the kingdom of heaven is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord of God. Amen? We just get excited by that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. Knowing what we got in Christ, so we'll be confident to go out and to minister. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because confidence is key. Amen? Not in itself, not in the flesh, but in Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. But knowing what you've got. So when oppositions happen, just like you mentioned this morning, watch out when you mess with the child of God. It's not the child of God you should worry about. It's God who fights for you. Amen. To live is Christ, but to die is gain.
Amen.
Yeah. So, death we're not even afraid of. We shouldn't be anyway, if we know where we're going. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But our battle is to keep our faith pure, strong, and active.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Glory to God. And if our faith is not active, I guarantee you, it'll be weak.
Amen.
Amen. And that's really when we're in the danger zone.
Amen.
That's why we got to keep it strong. One way to keep it strong is by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
Amen.
The Word of God didn't tell us. Faith comes by reading silently the Word of God. The Bible doesn't even tell us that faith comes by reading about the Bible. Amen. Glory to God. But reading the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures.
Amen.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Resistance. Turn with me to James chapter 4, starting in verse 7. Hallelujah. It tells us this reality. Amen. It says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's a fact.
Amen.
That will happen. It may not be instant, and usually isn't. Amen. I won't sugarcoat it. Sometimes you'll be battling for weeks.
Too many people entertain him instead of resisting.
Amen. Glory to God. Yes. Hallelujah. But he will flee. It says will. Amen. He'll come at another opportune time.
Amen.
He usually comes when your faith is weakening. When you're getting too comfortable in camping, in rest, if you will, spiritually.
Yes.
He usually comes that way. Amen. Glory to God. He's like I said, he's like a snake. He'll look for a crack in the wall, and once he finds it, he'll slither right in. No matter how big or how small that crack will be, he can slither in. That's why we're supposed to be on our guard constantly. That's what the armor of God is for. Amen? Hallelujah. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Hallelujah. That's a fact. Amen. We draw closer to God. God will draw closer to us. We're supposed to have a relationship that reflects like marriage on earth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Being one flesh. Because
yeah.
You're in one flesh, you're in one mind. I don't know about you, but we've had some things where me and my wife, we know each other's thoughts sometimes.
Yeah.
Or we will finish each other's sentences sometimes.
Yeah.
Glory to God. But that's how we're supposed to be in God.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Glory to God. Where you don't even hear Him anymore, but you know His thoughts.
Amen.
Ooh, that's how close you're supposed to get.
Amen.
That's how close we're supposed to be.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Some people call it a whisper. Mm-mm. Nope. You hear His thoughts from His heart. Glory, that's what He says there. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you.
Amen.
Now, too many of us have got it all wrong. We're waiting for God to come near to us, and then we to God. No, it's the other way around.
Amen.
Draw near to God, and I will draw near to you.
Amen.
Jesus has always taught that.
Amen.
Amen. Not the other way around.
Amen.
Waiting for God to come around. No. He's always around.
Amen.
He's always available, but we're not.
Come on.
Ooh.
Amen.
Mm.
Amen.
Glory to God. Cleanse your hearts, ye sinners,
yes.
And purify your hearts, ye double-minded.
Amen.
Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Why? Because that's repentance.
Amen.
Something that you reminded me of, Pastor, this morning, or was it Brother Steve? Maybe it was Brother Steve out there with his Sunday school message this morning. And this is what the Lord has ministered to me about, preaching the word as is, not water it down.
Amen.
Do not water it down. There's ministers in the past, I'm talking about way in the past, who, like Spurgeon, for example, he made some great points about salvation, but at the second point, he always added padding. Water down the word of God, so it won't hurt so much.
Yeah.
Right? We're not supposed to be doing that, and I'll tell you why. That's why we have a church age today as it is.
Amen.
That's fallen away from God because of padding.
Amen.
When you add padding to the gospel message of salvation, people will come to repentance, and they'll be on their knees, and they'll weep, and they'll sob, but they'll never get up changed.
Okay.
Because it didn't hurt when they landed. And they'll stay on their knees.
Amen.
And not get up and walk in holiness.
Mm.
That's just a fact. They get too comfortable sitting there and think, if I just believe that Jesus is the Son of God, I'm saved. It goes further than that. It's like in John chapter 3, it tells us that we must believe. That's the first point. Hallelujah. We must be baptized by the Holy Spirit, glory to God. We must have an active relationship with God, and then we must live right. Because just like you said, you know, he who believes in me is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
Amen.
But here's the condemnation. For light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But the one who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God.
Glory to God.
That's living right.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. So we got to preach the gospel as is. Do not water it down. Glory to God.
Whew.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Time for Christ.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Repentance is what this James chapter 8 and 9 is dealing with.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up.
Glory to God.
Humble yourself.
Humble.
So he says, submit yourselves unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Hallelujah. That's how we fight against Satan at his game, spiritually.
Amen.
To walk in the Spirit and not after the flesh.
Yes.
To learn how to walk in the Spirit and not gratify the desires of the flesh.
Amen.
And of worldliness, and of ungodliness, and of unholiness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Resistance. But that's what it is, strengthening our faith muscles.
Amen.
It takes faith to live right for God.
Amen.
Amen. I hate it when people say, oh, brother, we're saved under grace, not under law.
Yeah.
They're saying that they don't have to live right. But I'm telling you, there's many facets to the law. One thing is moral law, which God never said that, oh, I fulfilled it, you don't have to live by it. No, that still stands. Moral law still stands.
Yes.
Glory to God. I'm not going to get into all the other facets of the law because there's so much to the law, hallelujah, that Jesus had fulfilled. Amen. Like the sacrificial law, the priestly laws, and the purification laws. That's what Jesus had fulfilled. That's what was nailed to the cross of Christ. But moral law still stands, and we must live by it. It takes faith to live right according to God's holy, righteous standards. And that is, first off, the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments is the foundation to all the moral law.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. That's why it was high upon the mountaintop given by God to Moses.
Yeah.
High above all the nations of the world.
Amen.
So it's a law to all humanity. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
I don't want to get too further into that. I can go on and on and on, glory to God. But, you know, when I saw this guy on the internet even claim that we can live however way we want to, we'll still make heaven home if you just believe that Jesus is the Son of God. When I heard that, I declared war against Satan by preaching the truth.
Amen.
Because too many people are falling into that trap.
Oh.
Resistance strengthens faith.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Resisting the temptations of giving up on prayer.
Amen.
Whoo.
Yeah.
You have not seen some of your prayers being answered, but don't give it up.
Don't give up.
Oh, hallelujah. Don't give it up. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Stay steadfast in the Lord. The Lord is taking the opportune time behind the scenes. He's molding things in secret that we don't see in the spiritual realm.
Amen.
Amen. That should give someone a shout and fit. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Remember that. When you don't see anything happening or manifesting physically, something's going on in the spiritual realm. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Lord God, we got to keep on praying. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
So resisting the temptation of giving up on prayer, resisting to give up on the promises of God.
Amen.
Like, for example, you know that God is calling you to do something, but you don't know what it is.
Yep.
Don't give that up.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. It's always nice to know what you're called to do, glory to God, so you can work towards that.
Confirmation.
Yeah, a confirmation, hallelujah. And that's what we should be seeking also, but don't give up when you don't get it right away.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes He speaks in a dream.
Yeah.
And He did for me. Sometimes He speaks to people audibly, you know, their specific calling. Sometimes He uses a prophet, hallelujah, or a pastor, hallelujah, or a teacher, or evangelist to confirm a word, hallelujah. Because that's what God ordains, to equip the saints for every good work. Hallelujah. Amen. God uses determination and stubbornness to keep standing on the promises of God, to strengthen faith. Amen. Determination. Stubbornness for the things of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's an ungodly stubbornness, meaning, I'm not going to repent.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's a proud stubbornness. But then there's a godly, righteous stubbornness, glory to God, that you'll not give up on the things of God.
Pastor Salvador talked about jealousy for God.
Amen. Praise
jealousy.
The Lord.
Jealousy.
Oh, glory to God.
Jealousy.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Being severed hearted for the things of God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Against the nature of the world.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. God uses faithfulness and persistence to strengthen faith also.
Amen.
He also uses persecution.
Oh, yeah.
To strengthen faith.
Yeah.
That's one of the great many reasons why God allowed the church to be persecuted in the first century. One is to scatter the gospel into all the world, because they weren't going to go. they're just content in Jerusalem, praise the Lord. I would have been too, you know. Glory to God. Amen, glory to God. But God used persecution to scatter the church abroad. Hallelujah, to preach the gospel, but it's also to strengthen faith. Because when you're being persecuted, even to the point of death, when your brothers and sisters are dying for the cause of Christ, and you know it, and you know it's coming your way.
Yeah.
That's the only time you can really learn how to trust and lean on God for real.
Glory to God.
He may give us some instances throughout our walk until persecution happens,
yeah,
where we can only trust in the Lord.
Oh.
Just to learn what it's going to be like. Amen?
Amen.
But just like I know some pastors that are praying for persecution to wake up the church.
Yeah.
Because that's what strengthens faith. We're too comfortable where we're at.
Yeah.
And it seems like that the zeal and the fire of the Lord came so strongly in persecution.
Yeah.
Glory to God. I can tell you so many stories about persecution of the saints of God, according to the Fox's Book of Martyrs. If you've never read that book, you need to read it. It's not a fictitious book. It's a factual historical documentation together from different nations about Christianity, about Christian brothers and sisters who were persecuted for the cause of Christ and how. One was a group of Christians in Rome were marched to their death in the frigid cold winter into the sea, and they were shouting and praising God and singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs as they were going to their death. Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. Knowing that you're going to die, but yet you're praising the Lord. Hallelujah. Just like illustration, and I'm closing with this. An illustration this morning in the Sunday school lesson, that really got me thinking too, because my grandpa shared the same thing. There were some times where he couldn't remember who you are. Did you mention the name of Jesus Christ?
Glory.
He never forgot. That means that that name is above every name. But at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow in heaven, on earth, and below the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Glory.
That's what's so glorious about our relationship, our real relationship with Christ. We're so close to God because it's coming.
Yes, it is.
Persecution is coming. Yep. Just because you tell someone about Jesus Christ at work and they don't want to have lunch with you, that's not persecution.
No, no, no.
That's just annoying. Glory to God.